Let's do an ad. Hi, Bill.
Hey,
put,
Mike.
Bill, put that endangered species down. Put it down.
I'm just trying
put
to make it breed.
Put it down. Don't do that. Okay, there's not. You need two of them. What's that in your back? Get that other, get that female version of that same endangered species out of your pocket.
They really like each other.
Bill,
it's meant to be.
You need something else in your life, okay? You don't need to fix the endangered
species. Oh, yeah,
like what? I'll tell you what. How about getting one of your films seen in our film festival? How about that?
Go
get
on.
Just step away from the ledge and we'll keep talking. I don't know why you're breeding these things by a ledge.
I have them both in my hands.
We can all go down.
Explain to me this film thing.
Okay, well, if you go to filmfreeway.com/Boston, like the city, okay? Filmfreeway.com/Boston, you could have your film seen on ASMR Kitten's YouTube channel. She's got 30,000 subscribers. It's losing feathers. Please step away from the ledge. Come on.
It just does that when it's excited.
Oh, I didn't know. They're endangered. I haven't encountered a lot of them. Okay? Look, if you go to filmfreeway.com/Boston and you enter one of your films, we accept podcasts, video art, almost anything. You could get your film seen by... She's got videos on her channel seen by hundreds of thousands of people. That's amazing for a product. Bill, you ever tried to get a video seen by lots of people?
I have, and it is really, really hard. That's why I'm filming this right now, and it's still not getting a lot of
views. This is going to get you in so much trouble, though. Where did you get them? They look so rare and beautiful. And babies,
too. I know
too,
a guy who knows
a guy. We're going to have a talk about when things can breed. They look small. They look too small. So anyway, filmfreeway.com/Boston.
Okay. I think I have an idea.
Yeah, but Bill, here you go. Like, it's not, you're not a guest on my show. This is your show. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Welcome me in. Welcome, you know?
Hey.
Like, this is, we're roommates now in this podcast. You don't have to worry about me. Show me, where are we going? Are we watching a movie?
Hey.
Do I get something from the fridge? Are there snacks already out?
Well, I guess, yeah.
How long do you wait before you're, what's your standard for... Before I just said you take control. I really need to know. What's your standard for grab something from the fridge? Where do you start with that?
Wait, as in, what scenario are we currently in?
As in, someone new is in your house.
Oh, okay.
They keep coming over or whatever, or you're having a party. When are you, at what point when you're having guests, are you the, go grab something, you know, you're letting people rummage at their own will? Where are you, do you wait a long time?
I mean,
is that only a limited amount of people?
Well,
what's your standard for that?
I mean, usually if there's people over, I'll ask if people want a thing, and then pretty much after that first drink, if you want to go get something from the fridge, you can. So it's kind of at whatever length it takes for you to finish the first offered beverage, because typically it's been ingrained in me to try to be a host if people are over at my place. And then if not, if it's somebody that comes over all the time, it's pretty much you can grab a thing from the fridge whenever.
I have to be honest, I am pretty quick to say, get it yourself. I know that doesn't seem like my personality, but I am pretty quick to be like, yeah, it's in there. Go grab it. You want to know why? I think it's part of my laziness. I think it's just like, yeah, go do it. It seems intimate. Like, oh, yes, I'm just like, no, you do it.
It's fair. It's fair game. If you're in the apartment, that's just the fridge is just now a thing for you, for anybody currently in the
dwelling.
What
are they going to take, my ketchup? What are they going to do, move my ketchup? What do I care? Oh, God, John came over and ate all the mustard. Who gives a shit? What's going to happen to my fucking fridge? You know what I mean? They're not getting ointments out. It's not like they're bleeding and they have to go get Band-Aids and they're dripping all over my medicines.
They're,
you know?
Yeah, they're...
What's going to happen? He breaks an egg?
I mean, if it's a load-bearing egg, then the structure of your fridge is just destroyed from there on out.
Welcome to Hack Thought Podcast.
Hello.
A show where we endorse load-bearing eggs and are against all these people who try to tell me that eggs are the strongest thing in the universe. What is with those fucking people?
Oh my God. I don't even think I thought about that yet because I always consider them so weak.
There are these people that are like, you can put 1,000 pounds on an egg. No, shut up. No one cares. Why are you sticking to this? Do you know chicken eggs or this was...
They just want to know that their housing option is more stable than they've been led to believe.
Right, not even MacGyver is like, oh, the house is falling down. Get me 30 dozen eggs.
The architect said it was totally okay to use eggs to build our apartment. Now, I know he's right. I totally believe him. I believe what they said. But we're on the sixth floor, and it's mostly eggs holding us up. Eggs can hold like 1,000 pounds. Yeah, no, I know this. I know this. I need you to say that we know this too, right? We both know this.
Yeah,
this
is and you know all these, you know all these bullshit like TED Talky type people and stuff, where they're like, which by the way, welcome to show Thoughts You Don't Think to Think About, Hack Thought. This is Bill's episode, but I'm dominating. It was a stupid question. Or wait, of the Fangers, or did you want to do that? It's your episode. Because you need to do, I think that's, so when you're ready for it, Bill, in this bullshit opening, you'll say, bring in the theme song by Freddie Unreal of the Fangers. Right. So whenever you're ready for that, I don't want to force you.
Cool.
You know, there's all these bullshit people that go on Shark Tank and TED Talks and are like, we base this design off of, you know, ostrich feet, the world's strongest feet. No one has ever been like, it's based off the egg. It's based off the chicken egg, because that's so strong.
Well, the ostrich...
Yeah, I built this wheelchair. It's based off of eggs.
Well, I wonder if it's kind of just like, it's the type of eggs, where if you only got chicken eggs, well, then that's going to be a weaker structure. That's like your balsa wood. But if you can get a good ostrich egg, if you can get a good ostrich egg, I'm sure that's like a nice, good... thicker wood. So I mean, like that's the better building egg. If you want to put more stuff on your egg, you got to get an ostrich egg. You got to get a bigger animal to produce this stronger egg.
Now, I'm not suggesting that on your episode we have to do some improv I've thought of, but as an idea, why has there never been a home improvement prank show? And I'm serious about this, because like, fuck you. You want us to use our TV show to fix your fucking living room? Like, it's so stuck up. Like, they come in there like, oh, I don't really like it. Like, shut the fuck up. I just fixed your whole living room. Like, I was like, well, this design, shut up. I'm doing this for free. Like, I'm literally, even if I was just painting your fucking living room, like, shut the fuck up. Like, So it's like, these people are so privileged and it's so ripe for pranking. It's like, you know, well, we really wanted it to be, like, a lighter green. Like, fuck off. I'm going to shit on the floor. Like, fuck you. Like, that's how I am surprised there are not more clips of, like, the Property Brothers smack someone in the face after they say they don't like their $6,000 CGI design. What we're going to do is bring in this open concept. Ooh, we like a closed concept. Shut up. I did this on a computer. Like, fuck you.
Like, I'm surprised
it doesn't happen more often. So here we go. Here's your garden design. And we built a whole tree. I don't like apricot trees. I will kill you. I will murder you. I'm surprised. And these people are so stuck up. Like, okay, well, here's house number one. Well, it's just a little bit below our price range. You can go live on the fucking street. We own your house now. Read your contract.
Oh, I hate those ones.
This is where we keep HGTV's supply of, like, extra promotional shit. So welcome to your house where we keep all of our flyers. Fuck you. You hate those the buying ones?
Yeah, the buying ones, because, yeah, it's so dumb, where it's like, well, I'd like to have, like, a beachfront property, I'd like to have a skyline view, I'd like to be, like a penthouse, but I really can only spend, like, $1,000, so, can you make that happen? Also, can it be in, like, Buenos Aires? Like, someplace really cool, but I have no money. I've also got 7 children, so can you help me with that problem? And it's...
And I don't know where they are. Hunt them down.
Yeah, there's some...
Hey, HGTV, will you find my lost children and bring them back to me so I can give them their inheritance? The true gift was love the whole time.
Yeah, and again, that inheritance is going to be like $5 each, because I'm bringing in like $1,000 a year, so.
I got so upset the other day because I was watching one of these shows, and I was like, you know, it used to be that people had to live on the water because they wanted to exploit shipping routes. You know, it's like someone was like, I own a boat and I want to get like shit to Madagascar. Not like, I just want to look at the water. That's why nothing gets done. Because it's like, I want a waterfront property. What? To do what? Fish? No? Okay, you're ruining the world.
That'd be an amazing episode is if it's like, yeah, so I'd like to have a beachfront property. Oh, of course. Yeah, why would you want that? I want to export shipping routes. Okay.
My goal is to get all the rubber from the Amazon. Okay, yeah, there we go. I like that goal.
I mean, the only house flipping show that was surprising.
Audience, did you catch how I'm making more obscure film references because Bill's on the show? That was Fitzcarraldo, a film by a crazy German man.
But I was gonna say my favorite house flipping show is probably the one with Vanilla Ice, because like he's got his whole team.
This isn't a thing.
Yeah,
is this a thing?
It was, at least for a while. And he had a crew, and it'd be like Mikey G, the Carpenter.
Of course,
and
he has
it'd
a be crew. Like, he's Vanilla Ice.
Donnie L, the blueprint guy. But then it had
the blueprint.
But then it had I forget what his actual name is, but it had Vanilla Ice's actual name, and his role was Vanilla Ice. So it's kind of like every house flipping show needs the Vanilla Ice.
Craig Goldstein as Vanilla Ice. Who's our Vanilla Ice?
Yeah, we need a Vanilla Ice of this house flipping thing. I don't know if we're gonna be able to get these walls up. Can we bring in the Vanilla Ice?
So all I'm saying is, why don't we do a show? Well, like, this is a prank show where it's like, we go to these people and we're like, we're gonna fix up your home, and we say to them, look, you won't believe this. And people would, but I honestly think we could pull this off as like a regular prank. I'm working on some projects now where I'm learning that if you tell people something is real, they just believe you. And so if we were to go in and be like, look, if you tell someone something is fictional, they'll be like, well, how could Spider-Man climb up that building if he doesn't? Shut up, it's Spider-Man! But if you tell people like, I have a new product that allows you to climb up walls, they're like, no, it's real, it's based on spiders. That they'll believe that, but they will question fiction incessantly. Like, there's these lines in these Marvel movies where they're like, I just watched Doctor Strange, and they're like, you call it magic, but it could be called a program. It's magic! At the end of the day, you're just doing magic! Why are you explaining how magic works?
It's because they're trying to sell these, and everybody has that little, like, that little level in their brain where it's like, no, I can't fall
it's
for this.
Not,
this
it's is, not movie watching!
This is the comic books. No, but if you tell me actual bullshit science, I always call it bullshit science, where it's like, if you give me
good
these
name.
Bullshit science terms, then it's like, okay, well, then it theoretically... I mean, I'm sure they got the facts from somewhere. They just took liberties.
Exactly. And so if you tell people, like, no, this is real, they'll believe it. So if I say to them, like, look, this show is amazing. HGTV discovered this scientist, these two crazy scientists, Bill and Mike. They had no education, and they invented, you wouldn't believe it, the super strong material out of eggs. Okay? And in order to prove that they're right, they're going to do all these home makeovers, like, just using eggs. Like, it's amazing. Like, your table will stand up for years, but it'll just be eggs holding it up, and you won't be able to break it. It's incredible. These guys, it's amazing. People will be like, oh, even as I'm saying this, take this clip, okay? This is how I know people are full of shit. Welcome to Bill's episode, by the way. This is how I know
gonna,
people
I
are full of shit.
I was going to bring it in, because I wanted to finish this thought, then I was going to bring in my other thought.
Play this clip for people, okay. Bill, for the next 20 seconds. We're going to put like a little ding. And then for the next 20 seconds, I'm going to say 3, 2, 1. We are going to, like, legitimately, don't be funny, legitimately tell people that we are scientists who invented this special egg. And try and use like very close to science logic. And you, the listener, from this ding, find the ding and play it for people and see if they believe that it's a real product. Okay? Ready? Mm-hmm. 3, 2, 1. So after years of research, Bill and I discovered that this thing of the chicken egg being stronger than anything on the planet, we could use it to not just create a new material, but that chicken eggs could be used for... I mean, it was a pretty big moment for us, wasn't it, Bill?
Yeah. I mean, it took lots of tests and lots of research,
Yeah,
we finally came down to this one solution that really seems to be...
It's on the egg. Like, you can get it by just adding something simple, and it comes out of the actual shell itself, out of the material on the egg itself, the carapace itself. But it is as strong. It's using the structural integrity of it, the dome features, and it is, you know, we built. I don't know if you, there's a leg of Bill's pool table. You know, that was. I don't know. Is that still? It can't still be there. But I mean. How long did that hold before you actually got it fixed?
Well, I mean, I just replaced the egg. After a while, you should replace your eggs. But, I mean, that egg structure lasted, I want to say, like, 2 years.
Right. Well, because it's an ornamental, yeah. It was an ornamental pool table anyway. It didn't work. But, yeah, that was there for a while. I mean, and admittedly, to show people that you could do this. But it was a gimmick nonetheless. It's real science. And so now we're working... to making this egg technology, like, really, like, imagine something breaks in your house and you just put an egg sort of there and it will fix it. Or imagine something doesn't quite line up, you can use
the great thing about it, because they're chicken eggs, they're cheap, they're affordable, everybody can get them. It's not like you have to,
this
like
will change the world.
Yeah, you don't have to pay an arm and a leg. You can really like get a lot of like DIY projects done so much faster just with some simple eggs.
This is what we're proposing to you. Imagine a world in which there's a starving country. We bring them a chicken and they not only have a source of food, but a source of building supplies, a source of a shelter, a source of weaponry, protection. They will have it all because of it's a small formula we've added to the chicken egg.
And you're helping the farmers. You're helping like the community. You're helping like previously struggling occupations. You're bringing them newfound people to sell to. So it's like a really,
it could be a lifesaver to the entire world. Yeah. I genuinely believe what we will go down is these people that invented, you know, something that you know, on par with the light bulb. It's that easy. I assure you, in your home, you will have a chicken egg in the next few months.
You
just heard the second ding, okay? I'm certain someone will fall for that bullshit. And so why don't we make a prank show where we say to somebody, look, these are these guys. And then when they come in, like, their whole house is just cut. We don't do anything. We just fucking egg the place.
Yeah. At the end of the week.
Like, we come in and there's one new table from, like, IKEA. And it's covered in eggs. We're like, well, we tried to build a lot of it out of eggs. And obviously this happens. You know? And we just fucking egg the place. Because fuck you. I don't really know about this. We've always envisioned ourselves having a big tree in the backyard. Fuck off! We did it for free! HGTV is not goddamn NBC! You take what you get! Here's the design. Great, you take it. And God. Selfish.
And now here's a great time to introduce Freddy and the Fangers. Okay.
Hello, Bill. Welcome to Hack Thought Podcast.
Hi.
I'm the producer for the episode, and this is your host, Bill Moore.
Oh, hey. So the one thing I've always been curious about, I don't know if it's just me or if it's other people, but like, so do you wear a watch?
This is a complicated question. I don't want to like interrupt your flow for someone like
me. Do you wear a thing? Can you wear things on your wrists? Because I can't. Like I can.
Yeah,
I can.
We're in the same boat. I knew this was going to happen.
I can maybe go a week with wearing like a watch, but then there's just something about like the. It's kind of like, even if it's like, you can tighten it, I know, but just having something on my wrist right there, like after a while it gets like, I can't do it.
So I'll explain my serious medical condition, which is not a medical condition, just the shape of my body, which is a medical condition, just not a dangerous one or one that is a problem. I have moderately sized hands. I have very like sort of, you know, workman's hands. They're relatively small, but sort of dense. But my wrist is almost the same size as my hand, which allows for a great deal of wrist strength. But if I put a watch on it, there's no like divot there to kind of for the watch to rest. So it's essentially like almost like a bracer or a gauntlet, anything I wear on it, because it will go inevitably onto my actual hand. Or it's big enough and it just goes down to my wrist. I mean, to my forearms.
Yeah.
So it's actually like an uncomfortable issue for me. You're just saying you get like, ew, like I can't feel that thing on my wrist?
It's just weird that like it's something about like, because going about your day, like reaching for things, I can always feel it there. And it's like even like, yeah, like for some reason that part of my skin becomes like super sensitive. Just like, it's there. You have a thing there. And it's like, I know, I put it there. Well, it's there. Why is it there? Like, what is it? It's almost like my body is like figuring out it's a parasite, and it's kind of like, it's there. What's there? We don't know what this is. This is new information. Why do you have this new information? You didn't have it the other day. Why do you need this information still? Like, is it going to be an ongoing thing? Do you need it for like tomorrow? What about the day after? It's kind of like,
I imagine would actually, because I agree with you. This is a hack thought. Hack thoughts are thoughts you don't think about. This thing that watches are comfortable. Fuck off.
And then like
fuck off, they're not comfortable.
And I would also lob into that like the whole like those like the plastic bracelets, like the Livestrong bracelets and all that kind of stuff. Like anything around the wrist, like is just like it's the same problem for me.
Now for me, I do find not the Livestrongs. I can we go back? Let's go back in our time machine. Let me just turn it on. Oh shit! It takes blood to run. The year is let me get on my narrator voice. The year is 2007. We are in between thinking NSYNC is retro and that they used to be cool. Welcome to a world of Livestrong bracelets, the most popular thing on the goddamn planet. So 2005 or like 6 was at their peak, right?
Yeah, it's,
am I right there?
Yeah, that's it.
Like,
sounds
like
right.
It starts in like 2003, and then 2006, it's like its peak. How did you ever want one?
I mean, I did. I did wear them, but I want to say I wore them for like a week, and then maybe another week the following year. I could never fully get into them, but I always that they seemed appealing because they were colorful. I feel like it for some reason appeals to the middle schooler in all of us, where it's just like, that's a fun color. I should be wearing that fun color. Give me that fun color. Wait a minute. Can I be wearing multiple of these fun colors at the same time? Give me all these fun colors. And
here's the thing. I never bought a single one of these. And will you describe to the people, do you want me as the producer to describe the history, or do you want to describe what these were? Because I'm sure there are listeners that don't know what we're talking about.
I don't know the full history, but there were these like rubber rings.
Bill, what am I? I'm not an encyclopedia. I don't know the history. I'm just asking for the general history.
I don't believe that for a second. But they're like these rubber bracelets that I think usually they supported, like, I mean, I think they may have started with just Livestrong, but then they would like always support like a cause. So it'd be like you could get a pink one for breast cancer awareness. You get like a red one for like cancer awareness. You get one like all these.
And they would similarly parody Strong.
Yeah.
A lot of them would have a joke in it. You know, if it was brain injuries, it would be like Brain Strong.
Kind of like it's like uplifting. Like it's like we're uniting by wearing this. We are supporting your cause. I haven't donated any money, but I've bought this 50-cent rubber ring to indicate that my mom gave into my incessant whining and bought me one.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? This is what I thought was interesting about these. If someone was, you know, you go to middle school, me and Bill went to school together. There's a lot of ambitious kids who want to be helping the world and changing the world as they were young. You know, I was the same way. The point is that you meet people who are running charities and stuff, kids, bake sales, whatever they may be. And a common thing that kids would do was sell these bracelets. Now, the thing is that there would be charities all the time. Someone would be collecting money for something in school. It's a great idea. And, you know, you have some pocket money. You give someone a dollar. You know someone. You give them a dollar to raise money for whatever thing. I would give people, like someone I knew, like, hey, we're doing this charity thing. I was like, hey, I got a buck. I got a buck in my pocket for a charity thing. Not a problem. And they would foist those bracelets on me. He's like, you can keep the fucking bracelet. Like, I don't want it. And I remember several times where people were like, no, take the bracelet. And I was like, I genuinely am not going to wear it.
Take the
like,
bracelet,
I'm just
Michael.
Giving you money. I know,
take the bracelet,
honestly.
Michael. Join us, Michael.
Join us.
Live strong,
don't you want
Michael.
To feel something? It can't be used as a rubber band as well. Did you say can't? No, it can't be used as well. Why are you... Okay.
Join the family, Michael.
And I had, I think, about a dozen of these things, and I never bought them. I would just give money to a charity, and they would force them, or you would be somewhere. And then that was when it would get seedy, was people would give them out for like,
oh, yeah, buy a Dell computer.
I think I only ended up getting them, like, probably, so you said, like, the peak was probably, like, yeah, like, the 2006, 2007 time. I probably got them, and, like...
That's when it starts, the wave starts to crest, I think.
Okay, because I was like, I probably got them around that time, because I get them from friends of, like, I've always kind of seen those. Oh, do you want one? I've got, like, 25 of them in this one drawer. And then I've got, like, these other drawers with, like, 75 more of them. So that was how I started getting them, was because everybody, as you said, like, for every single, if you ever donated a dollar, they had to give you at least one. If not, it'd be like, you could just take, like, a handful.
Then there was this other side, like, that you said, of people who, like, really collected them and wanted them.
Oh, yeah.
It was
there were definitely
thing
people
going
that
on
did
where
that.
People wanted them. It was odd. And to this point, there was another product that Apple made that I would be interested to, not Apple, Nike made. Nike used to be a big watch manufacturer, and I had a Nike watch at one point. It was very nice, and then my gross wrists made it uncomfortable, and I wore it for as long as I could, I think until it, like, essentially I felt like, you know, Like, you know how people are like, oh, enjoy your childhood while you can. I wore the watch until, like, it didn't work anymore, like, even more than I should have. Because I was like, I know that this watch is annoying my wrist. But Nike made a product that was supposed to be like a Live Strong, but had a little watch in it. And I would be interested, now that I'm sure that device is really cheap, I would be interested to buy one nowadays.
I do remember that.
They had like little, it was like a rubber band.
Yeah.
But it would go, it had a little tiny watch in it. And Nike made that. So, and I think it even had a pedometer or something. But it went that far that this was such a craze that Nike invented a watch to go along with it.
It would tell you when your shoes were getting too old and you should buy new ones.
Buy them now. I just bought them. No, new ones. There's different colors.
Unstylish alert. Unstylish alert. Unstylish alert.
Your feet are gross. It was a crazy thing. And so I think there's two hack thoughts going on here. One is there seems to be people not giving a shit about what's on their wrist. And there seems to be no one representing me and you who's like, I'm uncomfortable with this thing on my wrist.
Yeah.
So go on. What other hack thoughts do we have for this?
For this particular topic?
For watches. What else you got for me about watches?
Do you think it's a texture thing? Like, do you think if have you ever been able to wear a watch? Like, I know you said you explained your thing, but have you I'm assuming you've test run your the whole wrist to hand thing. Like, you probably went through a phase where you were testing it. Like, could you do
I owned more watches than someone who probably likes wearing watches.
Like, did it,
because I tried so hard.
Yeah, did it make a difference for you if it was like leather or if it was one of those like almost like Velcro-y kind of ones? Like,
no, and I'll fucking tell you why. It's because the watch head is the whole issue.
Yeah.
The head is the most important, is the most irritating. It doesn't matter what the texture is. When I was younger, I could wear watches, much younger, because I had different wrists. I didn't have my adult wrists yet. You know, when a young man, when he grows into his wrists, you know, it's a big deal. He gets a training wrist. And like, when I fully had the hands I have now, it was always irritating. It didn't matter what it was, rubber, metal. And at some point I decided that it was, like you were saying, the texture difference. And so I had gotten a bunch of watches that were like knockoff watches of very expensive watches, which were like, they make these very expensive, like thick watches. I think Bentley made one at one point. And it was the band, it was like a large watch head, but the band was the same size as the large watch head, so it looked like a cuff. And I thought, like you thought, like, if I could get ones like this, like, I won't notice the head being, it never mattered. It was always the head that was the most irritating part. It always had a knob on it, a button on one side that would hit me. The head is always stiff. I even looked into one point into, these bracelets that, like, they had LEDs inside this bracelet. Like, it was a chain link bracelet, and then there were little LEDs attached to certain elements of it, and so that it could tell the time using the little LEDs, but it would mostly feel like nothing worked. It's bracelets that I'm incompatible with in general.
Yeah, because even with me, like, I could never wear watches or things like that. Like, even when I was little with my childhood wrists back in the day, I couldn't even wear them then. And I think for me it was always kind of like, yeah, like the band. I mean, like, I definitely see what you mean about the watch head, but it was definitely always the band for me, because I would just feel like it would either be like there was never the right amount of pressure on my wrist. It'd either be too tight or too loose. So, like, I would make a very simple point and it would slide down and it'd be like, meow. I'm making a point. I just keep seeing it, like, feeling this like thing on my wrist, and for some reason, like, because, like, I would go about my day doing whatever I would do, but then I would suddenly like feel this like, what is that weird? Oh, it's a watch. Wait, why am I? Oh, right, I am wearing a watch right now. Like,
if it ever moved, I could never make. I was like, I'm gesturing, and then like it falls down. It's like, I just want it to stay still. I have a question for you. Two people that I know, I admire. I'm pretty sure you admire. Because of your obligation to watch movies.
The Clock Man and
the Clock Guy, Boba Fett, and Batman. They all wear bracers, which are more forearm-centric, and yet we have not seen this style progress. Do you think you'd be okay with a bracer? You know, Boba Fett's, it's really up his wrist, Boba Fett. I mean, up his forearm, Boba Fett. It's like right in the middle of his forearm. Do you think you could wear a bracer?
Well, in their kind of cases, I think I could if it was a costume. Like, if there was a fabric They don't just have bare arm. If there was like a fabric or the hard rubber of Batman with a bracer, I think I could, because then it's like my whole body has a fairly equal texture sensation. And then if there's a bracer attached to that.
So you'd rather get in a whole Iron Man suit and have a watch in the middle of it than just wear like, even like, what if it's like, you know, you sometimes see football players wearing these, they just wear a sleeve because just their arms get cold during practice?
Honestly, yeah. I probably would be one of those where it's like, I would need the full body thing as opposed to just like, because like, it, with the sleeve, like, I could maybe do it for like a day. Like, I could do the bracer for like a day, but then it would get really weird and irritating and I couldn't keep doing it.
Look, I don't show my hand all the time on this show in terms of my skills. You know, you're aware of them, and everyone that works with me does. But I'm a fairly competent artist at making things. I'm pretty certain I could buy an Under Armour sleeve and put a watch in it. Would you try it?
I would try it. I would definitely try it.
Would you try it?
Yeah, I would try it.
Would you take photos for this podcast of you trying a bracer sleeve that I make for
I
you?
I would try it.
I mean, let's be clear. It's going to look like, it's going to look stupid.
Oh, that's fair.
That's part of it.
Yeah, that's fine.
But it will be a sleeve, just a sleeve, that you put over your arm, and there will be a watch on the forearm area. Will you try it?
Yeah, no, I'll try it. I'm definitely down to try it. Like, yeah, if there's a way that we can beat this, I don't know if this would count as a phobia.
How we can beat this? Watch strong.
Yeah,
you can't wear it around your wrist. It's a belt.
I don't know if this is like a phobia or something, or like a weird neurosis. But yeah, if we can crack this, sure. Let's do it. Send it to me. I'll take photos. I'll have Maya do a video of me walking with it to see me getting into it.
Oh my god! If I could, Maya, your girlfriend, is an expert at costumes as well. I could get her to help me with this. I could have somebody there fixing it. Oh, I never thought of this being a team up between me and your girlfriend to torture you into wearing a weird outfit. Oh, the world is opening up to me. Let's do an ad. Hi, Bill.
Hey, Mike.
Put that endangered species down. Put it down.
I'm just trying to make it breed.
Put it down. Don't do that. Okay, there's not. You need two of them. What's that in your back? Get that female version of that same endangered species out of your pocket.
They really like each other.
Bill.
It's meant to be.
You need something else in your life, okay? You don't need to fix the endangered
species. Oh, yeah, like what?
Like what? I'll tell you what. How about getting one of your films seen in our film festival? How about that?
Go on.
Away from the ledge and we'll keep talking. I don't know why you're breeding these things by a ledge.
I have them both in my hands. Explain to me. Explain to me this film thing.
Okay, well, if you go to filmfreeway.com/Boston, like the city, okay? Filmfreeway.com/Boston, you could have your film seen on ASMR Kitten's YouTube channel. She's got 30,000 subscribers. It's losing feathers. Please step away from the ledge. Come on.
It just does that when it's excited.
Oh, I didn't know. They're endangered. I haven't encountered a lot of them. Okay? Look, if you go to filmfreeway.com/Boston and you enter one of your films, we accept podcasts, video art, almost anything. You could get your film seen by... She's got videos on her channel seen by hundreds of thousands of people. That's amazing for a prize. Bill, you ever tried to get a video seen by lots of people?
I have, and it is really, really hard. That's why I'm filming this right now, and it's still not getting a lot of
views. This is going to get you in so much trouble, though. Where did you get them? They look so rare and beautiful. And babies,
too. I know
too,
a guy who knows a guy.
We're going to have a talk about when things can breed. They look small. They look too small. So anyway... Filmfreeway.com/Boston. So that was your first app, Bill. How did it go? Did I mostly control it? A little bit.
You guided it, but I felt like I had a solid enough footing into the subject that I was able to steer it and where I wanted to go. And that was my plan, where I liked that we finished the pre-show thought, and then we went into the new one, so... I wasn't forgetting to introduce it. I was just waiting for a natural break in convo.
Oh, yeah. And now this is now. Please take something from the fridge. Do you feel at home?
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. With the beginning one, I did want to say that sometime I want to make a movie that's a sci-fi movie, but with clear, like up front, I say that there is no scientific basis for any of this. So I wanted them to be in like a spaceship, but like, all right, we're going to be pulling the button to go up. All right. Station's ready. Cool. Everybody, seats buckled. Great. Now we're going to be going up. There's
literally a scene in the fucking Avengers where Maria Hill like was walking along next to Nick Fury, and she's like, he's able to manipulate the. It's like, and then they make a joke about it, like, oh, he can walk really fast, he can run really fast. It's like,
yeah,
are you fucking kidding?
I love how movie.
Why did you write a line that you thought was stupid? You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, no, but this, my idea is that the whole movie embraces that, where it's like the, all right.
Embraces that, yeah.
Because I love how movies, yeah, they think one single line of dialogue saves them from all of the scientific problems, or, like, whatever, like, thing they're dealing with. They have one, like, well,
here's why the Star Wars, sorry. Go on, because I have an examples of it, as to why we should throw out the new Star Wars.
More or less, I think it kind of, you know, your interjection was perfect, because I more or less had, that was where I was trailing off.
There's a line in one of the fucking Star Warses where they are on this planet and underneath the surface is white and underneath it is red. So like, oh, cool. Whenever they like dig into it or someone falls, it like is like red. Okay. And then there's a line. Would have been cool. Would have been fine just to do that. Okay. Then there's a line where one soldier turns to another and tries to taste the soil and goes, salt, to explain why it's red. We don't need a goddamn explanation as to why it's red, motherfucker.
Yes,
it's red. Why? Because it's cool.
Yeah, just let it be. Also, that's the great thing about like sci-fi is like you don't know all of this universe. There's no planet with this
exactly.
explanation.
You can't
just
explain
run with
it.
It.
Yeah. Yeah, people don't understand it. It's like, the point is that you would create a circumstance that would create a totally different world. That's the point. You create a sense of wonder. And by the way, Star Wars isn't sci-fi. I've been on record on this show about saying it. It's not fucking sci-fi, okay? Tell me the scientific elements involved in the magic sword wizards.
Yeah, that's true.
Hmm?
Fair.
What scientific point are we extrapolating there?
I mean, the only science I would say is probably, I mean, which they don't go into any of the science, but it would be the fact there are like battle cruisers in space that are flying with some form of like, I would assume, jet propulsion. They are defying the anti-gravity.
Would you assume that? Because no one ever says how they fucking do it in the movies.
Yeah, that's fair, yeah.
So it doesn't matter. It's goddamn magic.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, the Force is inherently magic, so.
It is magic.
They just try to.
It's another word. Lucas sat at that fucking typewriter. He's like, well, I can't call it magic. What do I do? The Force. Got it. Hey, Joseph. He keeps Joseph Campbell tied up in a back room. Hey, Joseph. He's like, yes, what's my precious? He's chewing on like a little rabbit. Hey, Joe, what can we... I can't call it magic. It's a force in the universe. Okay, force is good. Oh, yes, read another one of my books. No, Joe, I'm good at the one. I don't really want to read another one.
Go back
hey,
into
Joe,
the basement.
I got a letter... I got a letter here from Carl Jung. Who's that?
Don't listen to him. I didn't copy him.
Joe, this guy's pretty upset. This Carl Jung guy's pretty upset. Seems like he copied him.
No, Carl Jung is an evil man. He's an evil archetype.
No, yeah, he said he invented the word archetype, and that you pretty much stole that whole cloth from him, and that he's real upset about it. He wants all the Star Wars remasters.
This letter's pretty wet. It's looks like he's been crying while writing it.
Joe, you made Carl Jung cry. Okay, Joe, can't just be an evil monster I keep in the basement. Throw out the new salt. And what about okay, we'll do 2 minutes on the new Star Wars at the end of this episode since it was your episode and Bill likes talking about movies.
Yeah.
What the fuck is with anyone saying in the second Star, the new Star Wars that they're making, the eighth one, someone says, Godspeed,
oh,
Rebels.
Oh, wow.
Is God in the Star Wars universe?
Apparently now, thanks to that one single line.
Do you know what great phrase they have instead of Godspeed? May the Force be fucking with you! They invented a whole franchise around not talking about God! So what place does God have in all of this?
Well,
is there a Jedi Jesus? I'm serious.
Yeah, it might just be one single Jedi. Godspeed. Hi, I'm God. Yeah.
Hey, it's me,
I
God.
Live over here. Got a family of two.
It's actually pronounced Goad. you know, a lot of people get that wrong. We have silent A's on my planet. We have invisible A's on my planet. So it's spelled God, but it's because of our invisible A's.
Yeah, I can turn water into wine, but again, that's a planet thing. That's just like with the
And
the
that's
atmosphere.
A thing that comes on most spaceships can do that nowadays. You like load a little powder into it.
Again, that thing that we seem to have forgotten the force actually allows me to do that. So it's already, yeah, so just so you know.
Well, I mean, I do it with a button. But no, I push the button with the force.
But so yeah, just want to let you know, when he said Godspeed, I particularly would like you to.
Do you think
it
was an order?
Speed.
Yeah. Do you think it was an order? Do you think it was like, oh, Craig God always travels at around 43 miles an hour. So Godspeed, rebels. Oh shit! Did you hear that? Everyone, turn on your headsets, which still work like shit, even though we have all this advanced technology. you're supposed to go Godspeed, like, oh, 43 miles an hour. It's ridiculous. They spent all this time and effort to make sure they're not like Godspeed. Everyone crank the Nicki Minaj in your rebel force. They spent all this effort to not talk about planet Earth. And then it's like, Godspeed.
Yeah, maybe it is the Godspeed. There's a certain speed. As you said, Craig God several years ago hit this one particular speed that they found is the healthiest speed to go at.
They go so fast on that planet that Godspeed is actually kind of slower. In the Star Wars universe, it's like Craig God. It's like, oh, he managed to go really slow. You know, that's a good deal. I could not believe that Godspeed. When's Jedi Passover, huh? Answer me that shit.
Well, you gotta go back to, the Christmas special when they bring religion into that one.
There's no Christmas. Like, think about that. They refused to have Christmas. It's called Life Day. There's no Christmas. There's no Christmas or B. Arthur in the universe of Star Wars, yet there's God? It's ridiculous!